This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. President Donald Trump said on Twitter today that the United States military will be striking Syria, writing that missiles, quote, will be coming, nice and new and smart. Vladimir Putin's spokesperson, Dmitry Peskov, on the other hand, said, quote, we don't participate in Twitter diplomacy. We advocate serious approaches. That's the view from the Russians. Now, the president's tweets follow a suspected chemical weapons attack in the rebel-held city of Duma on Saturday. Both Syrian state news and the Russian foreign ministry have denied that a suspected chemical weapons were launched by the Syrian government. But what are the Trump administration's options if the president decides to launch a strike in Syria? Well, joining me now is James DeVritis. He's the dean of the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. He's also a retired naval admiral who served as Supreme Allied Commander of NATO in Europe. Admiral DeVritis, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Great to be with you, Meghna.
First of all, let me lean on your military experience here and ask you, if you were at the president's side right now, what would you be advising him on Syria?
I would tell him to go in with manned airstrikes, Meghna. In other words, about a year ago, we had a chemical attack. We used Tomahawk missiles. Those are unmanned, very low risk. We sent a signal. Did not work. Next step on the ladder of escalation is to use manned aircraft, which can carry very heavy bombs. We ought to use those Tomahawks initially as a wave to knock down the anti-air war defense systems in Syria, then send the manned aircraft in. That's higher risk. There are pilots, brave American men and women flying those aircraft. But I think the chemical attacks are real, and I think they demand a significant response.
Okay, but I think we've already seen Russia say they're vowing to shoot down any and all missiles, U.S. missiles, fired at Syria. So you would put troops potentially in the line of fire then?
That's what our Department of Defense is paid to do. And first of all, the Russian claims that they will shoot down everything that fly over Syria is not realistic from a military perspective. They have significant capability, but we are very, very good at this. We may or may not take some losses, but certainly our troops are combat ready. And again, the situation, in my view, demands a military response, and it is entirely warranted under international law.
Defense Secretary Jim Mattis just said today, though, that the United States and its allies are still assessing the intelligence around this suspected attack. He didn't come out and say that the Trump administration believes conclusively that it was the Syrian government, though. But so first of all, your response to that?
First of all, I would say that we are in possession of significant intelligence, which points definitively in that direction. Secondly, we would not launch those strikes unless we had that intelligence. So this will be the proof is in the pudding, or in this case, in the strike, so to speak. What Secretary Mattis is saying is we will continue to analyze, but at the same time, Meghna, he is building those strike plans, putting those forces on alert, moving an aircraft carrier into the Mediterranean, and preparing for combat.
Can you tell me more about what that intelligence is?
I would not want to share classified information, but I think the level of discussion, for example, by our excellent United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley, by the president's tweets, which are crude and inflammatory, but they certainly would say to me that he has been thoroughly briefed on the intelligence.
Just to continue on this track a little bit, forgive me, Dean Stavridis, but are you saying that you have been privileged to some of this intelligence around this latest attack in Syria?
No, okay. I am saying that I am drawing, I think, an entirely logical conclusion based on 37 years in the military.
Right.
And operating at the highest levels.
Okay. I just wanted to ask because, I mean, I presume we have discussed before how obviously because of your experience, you know many of the men and women at those highest levels of government and the military today. So I just didn't know if you'd had any conversations along that front. But about the fact that you believe this is a warranted escalation, if indeed the United States decides to attack Syria, doesn't that get straight to the heart of the Syria conundrum right now? And I'm I'm saying this because just today in the New York Times, Max Fisher wrote a really interesting column where he said U.S. options include limited airstrikes. Not sure at what cost that would exact on Bashar al-Assad. Arming rebels, which was the option that the Obama administration seemed to take, or a full-scale invasion. But what he pointed out was that the problem with all three of these options is a structural one, in that Russia and Iran are already deeply involved. So escalation is a dangerous thing because Russia and Iran could just as well escalate in return.
Absolutely correct. And that is the risk. I am less concerned about Iran, who has less capability to really embroil the United States by themselves in a significant global conflict. I am very concerned, as anybody ought to be, with the possibility of this kind of strike causing collateral damage that kills Russians. So what we should be doing, Meghna, is communicating to Russia, and I'm certain we are doing this, again, based on my experience, communicating to Russia, not with precise times or locations, but simply making them aware that to the degree their forces are closely intertwined physically with the Syrian forces, they are at risk. And I think you will see Russia, for example, get their ships underway and get out of Syrian ports. That's a fact. That's already happened. And so I think that Russia has no more of a desire to escalate this than we do. And they will bluster and they will pay lip service to the idea that, oh, we stand with our Syrian allies. And I suppose they do in the broader sense. But they have no desire to see a couple of Tomahawk missiles take out a couple of hundred Russians. And I think in that sense, telegraphing to them that they need to be careful about where their forces are located makes a lot of sense.
Admiral Stavridis, I have to say that hearing you say that manned U.S. airstrikes in Syria is now warranted or may now be warranted is more hawkish than I anticipated you saying. I mean, what's different now than in April 2017?
Indeed. I have always been one, and you know this well from all of our conversations, to reach for the soft power instrument.
Right.
But I have always said there are times when you need hard power. And the Assad regime, not only in this incident, Meghna, but in a half a dozen instances now, going back a year or two, continues to use chemical weapons on innocent women and children. That is unconscionable. And I believe it not only warrants, but I believe it demands an international response. I would love to see the Israelis, the French, the British, and I believe other nations will ultimately sign on to this. I do not advocate invading Syria. I do not advocate 150,000 troops there like we had in Iraq at one point. I do not advocate going to war with Russia about this, but I do advocate a smart but significant strike that takes out Syrian military capability that is used to perpetuate these kind of chemical attacks.
I have to say, I think a lot of people hearing this might understandably be feeling a sense of caution about this, and rightly so, because we're talking about escalation. It makes me wonder, are we at a tipping point, though, that if we have... Okay, this is your suggestion. Just I want to remind everyone your thoughts, not necessarily what the Trump administration or General Mattis have said yet. But I mean, I'm just wondering, are we at the possible tipping point where we go from a proxy war in Syria to a hotter war between the United States and Russia there?
I think that is a very, very low possibility. First, because it's in neither interest of the United States nor Russia. Secondly, because our combat lethality and precision is quite good, and we can use these strikes in a sensible way to hit back at the facilities, the kill chain that has produced these chemical attacks. And thirdly, because as I look at the battlefield and the battle space, there is very low likelihood of an escalation in force beyond these strikes. A good analogy, Magda, is to look back at the Balkans in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. We conducted quite a few manned aircraft strikes, and eventually that brought parties to the table. And in the end, that's what settled the Balkans. It was that mix of hard power at the front end moving to diplomacy at the back end. But that's what we can hope for here.
To the point, though, I mean, that was with in concert with allies.
And with Russia, ultimately, and that's worth remembering in the Balkans. So these things have to start, and I think it is in nobody's interest to simply let this chemical incident dangle in the wind. We ought to conduct a strike, take out Syrian capability, hope that can be leveraged diplomatically with Russia, for example, and with our allies to come to the table. And none of this ought to be presumed to be an attractive set of options. But again, to me, the higher risk is simply walking away and saying, it's okay to use chemical weapons. That does not lead the world in a good direction.
So one last question for you, Admiral, if I may. As in the past, you and I have spoken about the National Security Advisor because it was General H.R. McMaster, whom you know. I'm just wondering, since he has stepped down from that position, have you had a chance to talk with him?
Coincidentally, I chatted with him this morning for about half an hour, congratulating him on his work in, for example, creating the new national security strategy, and congratulating him on his integrity in a very hard position, and telling him I'm here to help in any way I can as he transitions to civilian life.
Are you able to tell us anything about insights he might have given you about the president?
I think I'll let those conversations stand between myself and General McMaster. I will tell you that he has a very bright future, and we will hear more from General McMaster. He will tell his own story in time.
And finally, what's your view on John Bolton, the new National Security Advisor? I mean, many people see him as being the most hawkish choice that the president could have made.
I think that is absolutely correct. And I'm also concerned, unlike General McMaster, who's famous for building teams and collegial working environment, National Security Advisor Bolton is someone who is famous for being extremely difficult to work with. I think that'll be a problem as he tries to move the interagency coherently together. I think General McMaster did a good job of building teams. I'm less sanguine about that possibility with John Bolton.
So it sounds like you're worried about John Bolton having the president's ear.
I think that John Bolton historically has always reached for the instrument of hard power. And I think that it is unfortunate that the first thing that comes under his direction as an interagency process is one in which hard power actually makes sense, because I think that will simply strengthen his view that the military instrument is the right one. As you and I have talked about many times, it is so often the wrong one. But in this case, I think it's time to launch that strike.
Well, James Stavridis is the dean of the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. He's a retired naval admiral and former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO in Europe. Admiral Stavridis, thank you as always.
Always a pleasure, and wonderful questions, Magna. Thank you.
We'll be back. I'm Magna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.